Sometimes, if on the bank of a river or at a swimming pool, on the side of a swimming pool, if we stand and look, then we'll see on the bank of the river, the side of the swimming pool, the people who are swimming, the swimmers, and they have a lot of confidence, mashallah. Somebody's on the top of the water, someone's underneath, somebody's diving in, somebody's doing a backflip, somebody's jumping up high and diving down deep into the water. In every way, in every style, people are swimming and nobody's got any fear or any danger, and people are fast in speed. They're swimming left to right across the width, and the treading water or diving down. And the question arises, learn this from birth? Because only a fish can really do this. Because if you tell a child there's a fish there swimming in the water, my child will just swim automatically. No, we will drown. Because the fish, it's natural for the fish to swim. So we see people who are swimming with confidence and different styles and different methods, and they're going deep into the water, swimming in deep water, diving in deep water, and there's no danger. So they didn't obviously learn or have it from birth, but they learned swimming. And on the same bank of the river or the swimming pool, there's a person standing and he's got the swimming costume on, and he's looking in a nice way, the people who, the swimmers, the how these people, how they're treading the water, floating on the water, swimming in the water. And he has a desire, I want to swim in the same way. I also want to swim and enjoy myself. And he's got the swimming costume on, and he's standing at the side, and he's looking, I want to also jump in and swim. And his heart is full of the desire that I also want to go into deep water and be able to enjoy myself and relax and swim. But he stood there. He's not swimming. Why? Because the whispering in the air, or the fear, the doubt, doesn't let the person jump into the water. He's standing there for quite a while. A few hours have passed and he keeps on thinking. He's thinking, should I go in? No. How will I swim? How will I tread the water? How will I stay on the top? How will I float? Maybe I will drown. Maybe I'll struggle. Nobody will be there to help me. Then he'll say, no. These people are swimming. Then he says, no. But if I go there now, then if somebody, for example, if something cuts me in the water, if an animal cuts me in the water, in the river, so he's thinking of these things. And then he thinks, no, there's an instructor here, he'll save me. But when I'm floating, and maybe the instructor is looking somewhere else, and then I'll drown, and he won't see me. And in these conundrum and thoughts and doubts, time is passing fast, and he's standing there watching. He's got the desire to swim, but the whispering and the doubts do not let him go forward. Take the step. Then another man comes in the same way, a new man. He stood, he looked, he's got the costume on, and he looks around a little bit, then he looks at the water, sees the people, and he just takes a dive into the water. When he dives into the water, he was totally new, and then he started waving his hands, and the instructor came, and he saved him, taught him, then he learnt how to float and tread water. And then he is included, and those people who were already in the pool, just like they were swimming, they were floating, etc. He's joined that club and he's standing thinking, if I jump in now, what's going to happen to me? The time passes. He keeps on thinking, how will I swim? How will I float? How will I tread the water? My brothers, this is an example. And this is an example faced in our lives. We also similarly are standing on the bank of the river or the ocean, the sea, or on the side of the swimming pool. We've got a lot of desire. We have the want. Who in the heart, a man or woman, doesn't have a desire that I want to be a wali of Allah? We read the kitabs, we hear the stories, there was a wali and he was like this and then he did this. And the friends of Allah, they're like this. And this is their practice and their status. Obvious, they were people with high status when we hear about their stories and their events and the real stories and the rahmah of Allah upon them and the mercy of Allah upon them. Then our desire increases as well, doesn't it? That, oh, mashallah, we should also become walis of Allah. We should try as well. We should make attempts. Then what happens? Like that man. Then that point comes back. The doubt. The self-critique. This difficult. If I do this, then what will happen? What if I struggle? What if I fail? If I leave this, then what will happen? If I implement this, if I take a dive, if I take the jump, What will happen? So we've got the desire to pray tahajjud. A lot of desire, I want to pray tahajjud, I want to do this, etc. But can't do it. Don't implement. Oh, when we get up, I won't be able to work, it will be difficult. In the same way, we have a lot of desire to save ourselves, to leave the sins, to save ourselves from the sins. We consider the sins as bad. But then after the waswasa comes, if I leave this action, then how will I succeed? How will I promote? How will I advance? What will people say? What will people in the dunya say? Who will I answer to? Who will I be able to justify to? How will I do it? And he stood there on the bank of the river or the sea, on the coast or on the side of the pool. The time passes, the age passes. Just like that man, in comparison, he stood for a little while, he jumps in. Alhamdulillah, the same way those people who have courage, a bit of determination, they come, they don't think. They just take the hand of the sheikh and they go on that journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They embark on that journey. They don't look back. They don't turn around. When somebody does this, then he becomes history. It becomes a dynasty. And then their name is included in the list of the arifin. And it's that one person. One person. And he thought. He thought after thinking, he said, okay, I'll jump. And then eventually, just like that person was floating, and he was learning, and he struggled at first and coped in the same way. The person who takes the dive into the deen, then mashallah, he's added to the list of the good people, and he becomes like dynasty. He becomes so great, and centuries passed after the passing away, but even today their name is mentioned as if they've just passed away, as if they're alive still. So this, from here we should understand that in deen, my brothers, in deen, the key point in deen, in Islam, the most important point, the critical point through which a person will be saved from hellfire and he will go to paradise is one, and that is courage and determination. Determination. Courage. The person who has determination and courage, he will pass the test. Yeah? We'll see the person who jumps in. He says, the instructor's here. Even if I drown, the instructor will save me. That's his job. That's his duty. And he has the confidence and he had faith. And if he stood there and thought, what if I'm drowning? Instructor doesn't see me. Or for a split second, there's no one who cares. And he thinks this. And if in those seconds I dive, no, I'm not going to dive. Otherwise I'll drown. Oh, forget that. In the rest of his life, he will not be able to swim. And he had his desire, but he cannot swim in the same way. Our hal is the same. Our situation is the same. That no, how will I do this? How will I implement this action? If I do this, if I go towards the practice, how will I succeed this way or that way? I'll lose out, I'll stay behind. And in the same way, I make the desire, then I break it. Then I make the desire, then I break it. Oh, may this not happen, may that not happen. And this game, in this conundrum and confusion, maut comes, grabs us. And what was written in our dynasty? The adab, and then everybody starts, or that person will start to get the adab. You know the father, if you see the father, you see when the child starts to walk, crawl, stand, walk. Then he stands, make the child stand up. You tell this, when you see the child crawling, you stand the child up. When the child crawls a little bit, you make him stand up. Then when he walks a few steps, he drops and he runs to father. And straight away father runs up to the child, takes him into his arms. And if he's hurt, he gives him love and affection and gives him a sweet. Isn't it? The father does this, isn't it? Because the child has tried. Eventually what happens, that same child, alhamdulillah, then becomes an athlete in the world. Wins the races, the sprints, the same man whose start was from this point. Isn't it? So who's the father? He was the instructor. And he taught, encouraged. Soon as the child fell down, the father took the child in his arms, gave love and affection, gave a sweet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran, وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَ وَنَدِيَمْ سُبْلَنَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ. Allah ta'ala says that I am with those people who have the desire that if a father can give the assistance to the child, Allah says, even if you fall, doesn't matter how many times you fall, my rahmah will embrace you, my mercy will embrace you. But have courage, have determination. Why do you fail? Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ لَعَ مَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But this is the condition Allah ta'ala is saying here. That if the father can do this, then Allah ta'ala says that, do you not even consider me this much? That due to me, if you have regard for my assistance, and then you go on that path through which I will come near to you, through which your desires will be fulfilled. Today you hear the names of the great walis of Allah, and your name will be included in the list of the pious people. And they all did this. Allah Ta'ala said that they had courage and determination. And without this, brothers, nothing can be attained. Nothing. This is the deen. That Allah Ta'ala says, jahadu, stand. Have courage, make practice, but we don't even move. We don't even shake a little bit, and we have the same desires that I want to be like this, and may this happen, and may that happen. That Allah says, Allahu Akbar, that جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah says that those who strive in my path, I will most certainly guide them onto the path and lead them. For Allah is indeed with the doers of good. Look, all year long, all our lives long, we listen, and we don't do nothing. We keep on reading the kitabs and the books. We don't practice. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ If you move, then you will get the result. We were sitting at home. We came to the masjid, and if we did stayed at home sitting, we could not do dhikr in the masjid, could we? So we had the courage, determination. And then it's the promise of Allah, that the person who makes an effort and strives towards Allah, then the obstacles, the rocks and the stones and the boulders, restrictions, and the way I'll remove them. When you have difficulty, I'll give you reward on your effort and struggle, I'll give you effort. Problems come, difficulties come, Allah says, I will give you the reward. My rahmah will grab you. Yeah, so if your father can hold you when you fall and make you stand up, then can I not hold you and assist you? Allah says, I will fulfill the requirements of your day. Don't fear. Don't worry. Alhamdulillah, all the paths that come to me, Allah Ta'ala says, what you have to leave and what you have to take hold of. Allah Ta'ala says that you will never fail. You wonder, what will happen here, the dunya, what will happen? All of this is deception. The people who have courage and determination, they don't see that how deep is the water. They jump into the water, into the river. They swim. And they become proper swimmers, trained swimmers. The same way the people who want to attain Allah's nearness, they don't see that, oh, I have to make some effort. If I leave dunya, if I go towards the deen, I'll lose out this way, that way. No. Those who have the vision and want to get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, then they jump into the water, learn how to float and to swim, and then they start to become skillful in that path. And Allah Ta'ala progresses them. Allah says, how will I leave this person after that? So this is the situation. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. That whenever a maqam comes, a situation comes, then have tawakkal in Allah. Have trust in Allah. And have the niyyah and turn to Allah, my friends. What is it? How much life has passed? How much is left? Even if we think here standing, when will this happen? When will I start? And I'll do it after Hajj. I'll come towards Allah after this practice or after this age, or let my children get married, then I'll practice. No. People say now, let my daughter get married. What will people say? This will happen, that will happen. This is not going to give us success. That let's jump into the ocean of Sharia and accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path and his journey and his principles, and whatever orders come, direction comes, we practice it, accept it. Whatever comes in our mind, in our hearts, okay, there will be issues, there will be problems, and maybe people will joke and jest in the world against us. Khair, khair. Because Allah Ta'ala's deen is great. He is the greatest instructor, the azim director and the coach. And he gives the best reward, even if a needle or a pricks your body or a thorn. Allah says, in my way, in my path for the deen, due to my deen, a needle or a thorn pricked your body, your skin, you will get the greatest reward because you did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, then see the reward I will give to you. Great reward. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is the good thing. This is the good result. So brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq that we live the life of amal and live in the dunya of amal, and that wherever we hear, from whichever alim we hear, from whichever individual we hear a good thing, when the hukum is coming from Allah Pak, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever time we have, whatever hukum is coming, we have to do this at this time, then just run after the action. Don't have fikr, don't have worry, and think about afterwards. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my hukum, do it. If Allah Ta'ala says, refrain, then leave. That's it. And the insan, the human being, will be successful. Just one formula for this, determination and courage. We need determination to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Without determination and courage, nothing can be achieved. If you look at the lives of the awliyaullah, the walis of Allah, wherever Allah Ta'ala sent them to such places, Allah Ta'ala sent his wali, his friends, to spread the deen, to explain the deen to people. And that people could not even imagine anybody would go there to spread the deen and Islam. Today the whole country as a result is a Muslim. People are Muslim due to one individual going. One individual. For this you don't have to think, oh, I'm going to spread the deen somewhere. You need the gathering and high gathering, a big gathering. No, Allahu Akbar. One insan who with ikhlas, with sincerity, if he reaches somewhere that I am going to spread the deen of Allah, then alhamdulillah he jumps into that practice. وَجَهَدُوا Allah Ta'ala says, subhanahu wa ladina jahadu fina. And those who strive hard in my cause, Allah Ta'ala says, and if we say, no, it's difficult, I'm going to have problems after, then this is the negative result. This is the walis of Allah. They had determination and courage and they made effort to spread the deen, to follow Allah Ta'ala's orders, and they had obstacles, they had restrictions, they had people against them. Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Afthani rahmatullahi alayhi, great wali of Allah, such a great status, and such walis of Allah, not many walis of Allah had a status like this, and there was no one else who had the title Mujaddad Al-Afthani. No wali of Allah had this title, is it? Mujaddad Al-Afthani, the reviver of the deen after Al-Afthani, 1,000 years. Wahid, one sheikh who had that title, agreed upon. And he didn't become like this for nothing, did he? And once he stayed in jail, he was given punishment. On one point, the king at that time said, "You have to bow in front of me." He said, "This cannot happen. My Sharia does not allow me to bow in front of you." And he was a Muslim, the king. He said, "You do this, and I will give you such rewards. I'll give you kingdoms and sultanates." He said, "Do what you want." He said, "Okay, I'll chop your head." He said, "Do what you have to. I will not bow in front of you." He said, "You'll have to come to my court." He said, "I will come, but I won't bow my head." He said, "I will see how you don't bow your head." So the king of his time, not the king like today, the king of his time, one man came. And Jibreel alayhi salam, subhanAllah, wasn't stood with him. But what was the issue? That he knew that my instructor is great and he will not let me drown. He knew this. I will jump into the ocean. And I know my instructor is great, the greatest, and he will not let me drown. So whatever problems or whisperings, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, my instructor is the greatest. He has the greatest power. He will not let me drown. And that's his promise. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا. And this was in the Quran. Allah said, "Have determination and strive hard. I'm with you." So he looked around. He didn't look around. Is an angel coming? Or shall I recite something? Or pray something? Or pray salah? And then, who will help then? So he said, "Okay, fine, come." So he said, "I will come to your court, but I will not bow in front of you." He said, "Okay, for him, make him such a door." Doors are normally quite high. SubhanAllah, he was Faruqi blood. MashaAllah, he was young. And he said, "Okay, he's quite tall. What we do, let's create a doorway which is low in height." Because he had a tall height. He said, "Now he'll have to bow when he comes through this doorway." And that's it. And then he's bowed in front of the king. At least he's bowed. He said, "Okay, fine, let's do it." So when he came, what did Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Afthani do? He put his feet through first, then he stood up after. So first his feet, his legs, and then he stood up afterwards. So this is the situation. This is not some insignificant thing, my friends. This is not insignificant. Today, if a constable comes to take the report, we start to urinate. "Oh, he's come, he's taking my report, the statement, witness statement, isn't it?" And in front of the king, he stood, and just for one thing, that this was the principle of Sharia. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, because they are the ashiks, the lovers, the walis of Allah. Remember one point, let me explain to you. That love, when we have obedience overwhelms love. Even though love itself has a high status, but obedience has more superiority. I'll give you an event. We've heard the events of the Sahaba Ikram, and there were more than 100,000 Sahaba, noble companions, and how the Quran has praised them and introduced them. And Allah Ta'ala says, but there were 124,000, however many Sahaba. How many names do we know? How many of them do we know the history? But we don't know all of them. But we know that there were Sahabi. There were Sahaba. There were many who passed away. We don't know about them. But, subhanAllah, there was a person. It was an individual. And he wasn't a Sahabi. But his maqam, his status was such that even the Sahaba were envious of him. Even the Sahaba, what was their envy? That when the hukam came from Allah, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this person, and the greatest Sahaba, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, they were given the order to go to this place. There's a dervish, a lover of Allah, a lover of mine, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Go to him and ask him to do dua for you and for the ummah." So he's the human being. Imagine what he is, who he is, what an individual he was in that day and age. Rasulullah is saying, "He's a man who's alive, but he hasn't seen me, but he's not a Sahabi." Rather, he knew the status of the Sahabi. How long would it have taken him? He had iman, he had belief, he had love. And the status of his love was such that in Uhud, when Rasulullah's teeth were knocked out, and you cannot see, no example like this. We go there, if the teeth falls out, a tooth, you have an injection, antibiotic to prevent infection. When this individual heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tooth got knocked out, then what did this person do? He wasn't a Sahabi. What did he do? He heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tooth got knocked out. He knocked this tooth, that tooth, that tooth, and he knocked all his teeth out. Just in case he didn't miss that opportunity, I say, is there an example like this of ishq of love? And he took all of his teeth out. Maybe it's this tooth that got knocked out. Maybe it's this tooth. Maybe this tooth. And all the teeth got knocked out and he put them to the side. That my mahbub, my beloved, his tooth was knocked out. How can I keep the teeth in my mouth? So this status, was he given for this reason? Because of his teeth? We think that he got his status and rank due to muhabbat, due to love. Is it? Somebody said to Uwais, Hazrat Uwais, that you go. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go and see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you'll become a sahabi, you'll have the highest rank, you'll get a great rank and maqam, you'll become radiyallahu anhu. But the maqam he had already attained, and that was over the love, and that was obedience. And what did he do? He said, okay, that's fine, I do have the love, and my love, people in the world have heard, and it's spread, it will spread, my love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will spread around the universe and the world, that the greatest awliyaullah, they will bow their head upon this dynasty, upon this story, and this is the fact. But why? He said that the rights and the sharia and the principles overwhelm, the rules overwhelm the love, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that serve your mother. Serve your mother. So how do I break this hukam, this order? If I leave my mother, then I am leaving the hukam. And this is afdal for me, even if I don't become a sahabi, but I cannot break the order. And this is ishq. This is the love. And for us, look at shaitan's drama and deception. 2 tears fall out, we leave salah. Oh, I'm ashik Rasul. I'm the love of Rasulullah. If something happens and we become the ashik, I'm an ashik now. I don't need to do anything now. I'm an ashik, I'm a lover. I've seen Rasulullah. And he runs out of the back door. So the example here of obedience. Look here, let's think here. It suddenly came to my mind that Hazrat Uwais radiallahu anhu, how did he become what he became? We think it was due to his love. He had essential, extreme love for Rasulullah. But Allah Ta'ala put another point in my heart. This was not due to love. This was due to obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to which Uwais became Uwais. Otherwise, did it take long? And he could have traveled. People came from all around the world to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he didn't go. So what happened? He had so much love, so much love for Rasulullah sallam. He used to turn his face towards Rasulullah sallam's city, and from his town he used to turn to the location of Rasulullah sallam. He said, I could smell the fragrance of my mahbub. And Rasulullah sallam used to do this, that he used to turn his face towards where Hazrat Uwais used to live and said, I can smell the fragrance of my beloved. Hazrat Umar went, Hazrat Ali went, they did salam and met him, and with adab they used to sit and meet him. Such great sahaba companions, they thought, what maqam this insan has got, a rank. So this is obedience. Allah Ta'ala has given us such great examples of obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a man cannot think, that there's no room for negotiation or excuses. There's just the path. But so brothers, there's just one thing we have to do, and what is that? Have determination and courage if we want to attain the path. And if Allah Ta'ala has given us the whole path and it's based on courage, determination. You, mashallah, brothers, with the fadl of Allah, and your courage and determination has brought you here, and has given you dhikr, and has sat you here. And due to this, you have come, you've left your business, and you sat down. You had a bit of determination, isn't it? And in life, strengthen your determination. There are lots of tests to come. Remember, on every footstep there's a test. Not this that we've done a thing, an action, and we are successful now. I've just practiced one part of the Deen, I'm successful. No, Allah Ta'ala says, the more you practice, and the more your rank is, your status increases, then the more the tests and the challenges of Allah come. The stages increase along with this. And if we wait for this, and if a person, he passes the test, because shaitan keeps on attacking, nafs keeps on attacking with their full weight, and there's always a danger, always a risk, always a fear that nafs and shaitan will try to overwhelm us. But there's one thing we have to focus on, pay attention to. What is Allah Ta'ala stating? What is Allah Ta'ala's hukum here? What is Allah Ta'ala's order here? That is what I need to conform to. And that, if I make excuses, today we say hikmah. This is a drama or a deceptive word today. That speak with hikmah, speak with wisdom. Don't speak too much, you know. Shaitan has given us this word today in deen. No. If we practice like this, we need to have hikmah at this time. We need to have wisdom at this time. Hikmah, shikmah doesn't pass. Doesn't pass in this game. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala says, have yaqeen in me and have himmat. Not hikmat, himmat, which is courage and determination. Such beautiful examples in front of us. Nothing forward and back, left and right. Allah says, no room for negotiation. When my instruction comes, then Allah Ta'ala says, I become the muhsin. Wa inna allaha la ma'al muhsineen. For Allah Ta'ala is indeed with the doers of good. Look, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani, rahmatullahi, when he followed his principles, that same king and his offspring, his children, not one, all of his offspring for generations, how would they come to meet him? So in history is written, from miles away, the king of his time And he's telling his wife, his queen and himself that take your shoes off here. We are going towards the Darvesh, the Wali of Allah. From miles before reaching there, he would get off his elephant. And without the shoes, he would start to walk. And then he would go and ask for permission that I've come. Do I have permission, O Sheikh, to sit with you? This is the king of his time. So is this? Allah Ta'ala said that how Allah elevates the rank of the Wali and the person who tries to play games and negotiate and ignore. He's got the libas, he's got the attire, he's got preparation, but he doesn't want to go in. And this is our situation, that we have the desires and we have heard the stories. I want to be like this, like this. No, look at the hukum of Allah, look at the hukum of Allah, look at the orders of Allah. Like you have the, like a soldier. Soldier's always looking at the instructions. He's not thinking of what do I think, my opinion. He's looking at his sergeant or the commander. What's the order today? What do I need today? Where do I need to go to today? And the, for example, not me. I'm not doing what I want to do. I've been prepared and I have to take the orders from above. And this is what happens in the army amongst the soldiers. I know a little bit, isn't it? We all know about this, don't we? So this is what happens, that the person who's the commander or the leader or the sergeant or the captain is waiting for the order and the soldier just salutes. March, go straight. Okay, you salute and go and do these actions. And this is the life. Allah's law, Allah Ta'ala's deen, we should bow in front of it and have courage and determination. And then the soldier, for example, he doesn't say, wait, sir, commander, let me think for a few minutes that if I go here, how would this happen? And the enemy will do this and I'll be disadvantaged. And then the, he says, oh, court martial this person and get him out of the army. Is this for me to think about or you, O soldier? What will happen there? What will happen there? I'm giving you the instructions. So here, in the deen of Allah, we shouldn't think about it. What's going to happen after? What should happen before? We've been given the hukum that just do this action. Allah Ta'ala says, and if it's for our benefit or not, or whether it's according to my liking or not, my desire or not, I don't know about this and I don't think about this, I don't worry about this without thinking and hikmah and wisdom and this and that, then you'll stay cold. Then you'll stay cold and your life will pass, some more will not pass in this game, and then you'll go into the depth of the grave and then we'll realize, oh sons, what have we done? Friends and colleagues, then we'll all realize then, hi, I've only done this and regret, just stay here quiet now. Now your hisab is about to start in the grave and the hereafter. So what, we waste the time, such a precious life, due to fear and no determination. We're afraid and Allah is behind us. Allah is with us, assisting us. So this, alhamdulillah, is Allah Ta'ala's great fadl. He has given us His grace and mercy. We pray salah, we come to the masjid. This is the great fadl of Allah. And we have a bit of ability to do dhikr. And we, mashallah, to an extent, we practice the sunnah with Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy. And this destination is far. May Allah Ta'ala give us long life. May Allah give you the fares and the benefit of in the dunya, because you, mashallah, have the connection with Naqshbandi Sitzla. May you tell people and people connect to you. Maybe you give fares to people, but become people for the world and the people. Advise and benefit and be of use, that we should benefit from our own life and we should benefit the dunya from our lives as well. That when they see us, they say, mashallah, you are the dhakir, I enjoy this. They should listen to you. People should benefit from you. Pray salah, follow the sunnah, and listen to you. And alhamdulillah, a society should be made, an environment should be made, and the color should come into our life of deen. Not just eating and drinking and passing the life like this. We should become so much that in the path of Allah we are accepted. And here Allah Ta'ala has made us reach here. We've had a bit of courage, made a bit of effort. Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr and the majlis and the gatherings. Oh, at least we hear a few words of the deen of Islam. And somewhere we put everything together and we are made to understand the principles of the deen. Okay, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given you a great muqarrar or a mufti or an alim, but at least the message comes to us somehow, somewhere, isn't it? So this is also Allah Ta'ala's karam and His mercy that He's given this to us. Now what do we need to do? So our safar is not complete here. Our journey is not complete. This is for us and those people who haven't even moved yet, who haven't even come towards that path. And for the sake of Allah, we have to say, for the sake of Allah, move, make use of your life. Why are you wasting time? Have courage, have determination, come towards salah, get up in the morning. Why do you waste your fajr? Oh foolish, one fajr, if it's wasted in your life, one morning fajr is destroyed. That fajr will never come back again. The fajr will never come back again in the life. That what is left yesterday, remember, 10 years again after that when you pray, or after 15 years when you have the strength, and maybe those many years won't pass, or after 5 years or even, not even that, then that will be the salah for that time, and all of the previous will be finished, eliminated. That one moment a person passes and wastes against Allah without the obedience to Allah, that will never come back again. That will be lost. You cannot compensate for that. So in other words, that time when we lose it, even if I'm 80 years old and the years have passed behind, they have gone. And I'll give you an example here. That, for example, you take something out of a machine, or when you print the paper, and where there's no proper printing, then it comes out black and a lot of stains. And some paper comes out of the machine, some comes out black, some comes out without the print, and some comes out properly printed. So our life, when it goes past all the years, and when our print comes out, then I see that all of it, there'll be not many words that can be seen, that he did this, he did these, he spoke this way, he came out, it'll come out blank. Blank, or just ink everywhere, black, and just spoilt. Allah Ta'ala says, your print is such that there's no words, there's nothing that we can decipher or read. Or what were you doing for 80 years? 80 years, tell me. Allah will ask. So this is the reality. Read Quran. The whole Quran tells us the same message, front to back. Alif, Lam, Mim to An-Nas. Nothing, there's only one message. The whole meaning of the Quran is one. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. That's it. And the result for that is what? La'allakum tuflihun. Allah, the whole Quran means this. Atiullah, what the Rasul, have courage, determination, listen to Allah and His Rasul, so you can attain falah, success. And the whole Quran, from Alif Lam Mim to Nas, the whole Quran gives this message. And this is what we need to implement. The rest we have the events to give us encouragement and courage. Allah Ta'ala explained the previous events and the ummas and the nations and the stories. But the meaning, the summary of the Quran in one sentence is Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. That obey Allah and imitate Allah and follow Allah and His Rasul if you want the success. And then alongside Allah in parallel gives the events of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, how did Hazrat Hajra come, how did this occur. Allah Ta'ala didn't need to mention these things, because He could have given us straightforward orders, just do this. And that's it. Would we reject? No. Could anybody reject? No. So this is Allah's mercy and karam, that His previous, the previous nations, the previous prophets, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Allah says, this is not a joke, that we have to go to Allah eventually one day. So we need to prepare. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you and all of us the tawfiq, and may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the deen and to follow the deen and the path with determination. Ameen.